Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I read the story over the weekend, and I must say, my first reaction was, well, it's about time. I thought that they were going to do this a long time ago. I think I'd even predicted on the air when the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, this was years ago, was moving this direction, quite obvious to me, moving this direction toward the acceptance of homosexuality, and then later following the suit of other mainline liberal denominations in Protestantism to the accepting of gay clergy, openly gay clergy, and then eventually the election of openly gay bishops. I remember thinking to myself, it's going to happen immediately when they decided, when they finally made the decision in 2009. But it took them a couple of years. As of Friday, they did elect the first openly gay bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Guy Irwin, a very learned individual. But he's only been a pastor, an ordained pastor, for about 3 years, although he served as an unordained pastor before that. Joining us to talk about the election of the first openly gay bishop in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Dr. James Nestegen. He's professor emeritus of church history at Luther Seminary. Dr. Nestegen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. It's nice to talk with you again. I always enjoy it.
When did you've been following this, and you have a much longer memory about something like this and someone like I do. When did you first realize that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America was going to do this?
I thought you hit the nail on the head in your introductory statement. This is a political movement, not a theological movement or a religious movement. It's a movement driven by external forces, the gay community. It's also, there are lots of ELCA pastors and lay leaders very sympathetic to it, but their interest is in serving the gay community. Their interest theologically or religiously is not quite as important. And so the important thing is to score points. And I, like you, I've been surprised it hasn't happened earlier. There are some people in St. Paul, particularly, who have been quite eager to get this going, but apparently haven't been in a position to promote themselves. And now the group in Los Angeles got a chance to push one through, and they did.
Can you give us a short history of how the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, which was comprised, as it is today, only 24 years ago, how it went in those short years from kind of mildly liberal in its leanings for the time, to, well, on equal par with the Episcopal Church in America?
Or the UCC or any other dying denomination. The Missouri and the ELCA antecedent bodies have got a historical difference that goes way back concerning attitude towards culture. The Saxons that immigrated with C.F.W. Walther left behind a Germany that was inhospitable to Lutherans anymore. They believed they had to leave Germany to be Lutheran, and they came to Perry County, to other parts of Missouri and other parts of Illinois, particularly for the purpose of maintaining their Lutheran identity. And so they established parochial schools quite early, and they posted a guard against the culture that Missouri has maintained historically ever since. The ELCA antecedent bodies are in Scandinavia generally, though there's a little bit of German blood here and there, quite a bit in some areas. The They came from a different tradition, much more shaped by the folk church. In the folk church in Scandinavia, you become a Christian by birth, and so you're entitled to baptism. It's a function of citizenship. And so the ELCA has celebrated its openness to culture, and it's very skeptical of those who are critical. And so if you look at the founding rhetoric in the ELCA, it sounds like the folk church 100 years ago. Everybody's included, nobody's excluded. Anything you can accept, I can accept better. And with a the only time the ELCA ever gets malicious is when it thinks somebody is not being as inclusive as the rest of them. So it's a kind of a shell game. Anything you can accept, I can accept better. And because I can accept it better, I'm entitled to sit in judgment on you and exclude you. So it's kind of ridiculous.
So that's the broader sweep of history. It was 2009 when the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America finally made the decision to accept openly gay, lesbian clergy. Now, I don't know if they needed a separate decision to do it with their bishops, but I assume it was somewhat inevitable after that, given your yeah. surprise along with me that they didn't do it shortly after 2009. Yeah. How did they get to 2009? What was the course of, well, they would use the word study, but what was the course of compromise that they took to get to that decision in 2009?
It wasn't really a compromise. It was a matter of overpowering elements in the ELCA tradition that wished to maintain historic biblical and confessional standards. There are such elements, and there were such elements, and there are people in the ELCA who, for one reason or another, who are still holding on, believing that somehow they can persevere. But the fact of the matter is that politically, socially, and theologically, all the pressure has been to dissolve the particularly traditional sexual standards. But there have, and in fact, the leadership doesn't appear to be all that interested theologically. But they certainly are interested in undermining the authority of Scripture to set these standards.
You said earlier that this has been a political movement, not primarily a theological movement, driven by forces outside the church, in particular, we could just say kind of cultural forces outside the church. I was interviewed earlier today by World Magazine, and they asked my opinion. I said, well, it looks to me like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has wanted felt like they're kind of behind. I mean, there are a lot of other denominations that have done this already, and, if you want to be a card-carrying member of liberal Protestantism, you can't fall that far behind. What do you think of that?
I think that's exactly true. I think I grew up in small towns, of course, and there were always country kids who were convinced that the city kids knew more than they do, and they rushed to accept before what they anticipated that city kids would be accepting, and that's the ELCA. It's primarily a rural denomination. It's still, 65 to 70% concentrated in rural areas, and so the leadership is in, very eager to demonstrate that it's part of the city kids show, and so it rushes all mill into these things. I think the group in Los Angeles that's promoted Guy Irwin is, that's kind of an exception. There are some very strong California Lutherans and ELCA types who have have held the line and borne witness, but in some ways, California is a microcosm of the larger ELCA. There's a group of younger pastors, particularly, that's very sympathetic to the gay agenda, and apparently they just barely, but they got the votes this time, and so now they can trumpet their achievement. I met Guy Irwin on several different occasions. He's quite a quiet, self-effacing type of person. But you can't talk with him very long before this agenda comes out, and I anticipate that's what's going to happen. Whatever else, that will be primary.
He was fast-tracked. I don't think you can explain it any other way, although he served as an unordained pastor for several decades and was only ordained after the 2009 decision. He's only been a pastor 3 years. Is he fast-tracked to be presiding bishop? About 30 seconds before our break.
I love it. You're one step ahead. The chairman of the bishops right now is a woman who has no parish experience and from Montana. And so parish experience is now irrelevant for the office of bishop. It's nice if you have it, and if you can claim 9 years of part-time, non-ordained work, why, that's just fine. Or if you've been an interim pastor, that's just fine. It's the fast track is for the political agenda.
Dr. James Nestegen is our guest. We're talking about the election of the first openly gay bishop in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We're coming to you live on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 4th. Happy to take your questions or comments. 10 more minutes with Dr. Nestegen after this. 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback at issuesetc.org. Do you struggle to reach out to friends or family members who have questions about Christianity? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's a new book titled What They Need to Hear, Sharing Christ with Family and Friends. It's written by regular guest Pastor Clement Preuss. What They Need to Hear is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. What They Need to Hear, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
We're giving away 2 scholarships to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Just invite your friends to attend the conference using Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or email, and send the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited to contest@issuesetc.org. The listener with the most creative invitation and the most friend invites will receive a scholarship to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll announce the winner on Friday, June 7th.
Yeah.
The hymn Lord of All Hopefulness, sung by the Cathedral Choral Society, playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. One of the things the listeners to LutheranPublicRadio.org tell us on a regular basis is that they are very thankful for the quality of the music there. In particular, the best of really international choirs performing the church's music 24/7 at LutheranPublicRadio.org. We strive for excellence there, and that's, I think, what you will hear if you tune in and listen to the church's music at LutheranPublicRadio.org 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org, sacred music for the world. Dr. James Nestigan is our guest. We're talking about the election of the first openly gay bishop in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. He's professor emeritus of church history at Luther Seminary. Let's talk a bit about it's been a kind of a tandem effect here since 2009. I think the figure that's being quoted in the press, Dr. Nestigan, is 600 congregations out of the about 9,500 congregations that make up the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America have left as a result of the decision in 2009 that eventually came to fruition here on Friday with the election of the first openly gay bishop. What are your thoughts on that, kind of the church becoming more liberal by attrition?
Well, I think that's an exact analysis, but I think the statistics need a little correcting. There are 350 congregations in the North American Lutheran Church, to which I belong. There are something over 600 congregations in Lutheran congregations in Mission for Christ. So that's about 1,000 congregations. And with that, there are all kinds of people who have simply left. And so that's reflected financially as well as in membership. And so the ELCA has gone into a hard economic slide as a result of its decision. And initially, the gay community was, wanted to make sure that there was funding to compensate for the funding that left, but that has not continued. And now the ELCA is in desperate financial condition, and it has all the hallmarks of a dying church. It's particularly intolerant of people not considered tolerant enough, and so it's using coercive measures against congregations. It's expropriating congregation's property, it's claiming a right to breaking the Ninth Commandment, flagrantly claiming a right to property that is not theirs, and it's gotten to be a real ugly mess.
Let's see what Herman has to say. He's listening in Illinois. Thanks for waiting on the line, Herman.
Thank you. Dr. Nestigan, I noticed that in the recent Synod meetings of the ELCA, there was an attempt, I believe, up in Idaho to try to get the 2009 decision rescinded or changed. Is it likely that this decision for the openly gay bishop in California is going to reignite what further exodus from the ELCA?
Good question, Herman. Thank you very much. Dr. Nestigan.
That's a wise question. Prudent. That's what's going to happen. The use of repression to maintain membership doesn't work in America. The alternative is just down the street. And so the likelihood is that the bishops, who are themselves quite weak, will demand greater and greater rigor in trying to protect from congregations leaving. And that just means that people will find the back door and go anyway. So it doesn't look good. And I'm sure that this decision will, who knows? I mean, I've had apocalyptic visions of what might happen, but there is a kind of an inertia in the ELCA that has protected it so far and from steeper losses, and that probably is worth betting on. I don't know.
Dr. Nestigan, some general questions here. If the picture that you painted here in the last few minutes of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, its financial woes, its dramatic losses of membership in the last 3 years, added on top of a 23% loss of membership since its founding, if that's all the case, what's holding the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America together today?
It's ethnicity, probably, whatever's left of it, some inertia, habit. That's a factor. I've been very surprised that some of the older pastors who I had considered, good and reliable friends who just turned over and conceded on this issue. And so it's, it's the normal stuff that holds the political community together. One of the really interesting differences between Missouri and ELCA is that ELCA looks like the Democratic Party at prayer. I mean, people regularly express surprise in the ELCA that there are Christians who would actually vote against Obama. I mean, they're flabbergasted by this, you know. So there's an amalgam of social and political commitments that's holding it. And the betting was by the church leadership, was that that would hold in the face of this decision. It clearly hasn't. And that's going bad to worse.
To your knowledge, has there been any word, any public word from the leadership, from the presiding bishop Hansen, on the election of the first openly gay bishop?
No, not that I know of. I'm sure if he says anything, it'll be to welcome it as a further evidence of the freedom of the gospel. But he's generally, when there's opposition, he clams up. He doesn't say anything. He lets it go. Todd, if you give me permission to digress from your question, I would just like to say that Guy Irwin has been held a chair named for Gerhard Belgum. He's held the Gerhard Belgum Chair of Lutheran Confessional Studies at California Lutheran College. Gerhard Belgum was a great man. He and his wife, Olga, he was a wonderful teacher. They were a wonderful example of Christian leadership in that community. And I know that family would be just, dumbstruck by the fact that his name keeps coming up in this discussion. It's just tragic.
Dr. Nestigan, with a few minutes here, we've noted with the examples like the Episcopal Church USA that the tolerance agenda, especially with respect to deviant sexual behavior, has become the message. It has come to now substitute for the gospel of Jesus Christ itself.
Yep.
Is that also true of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America? About a minute here.
Yeah, it was. There have been other elections. This is the season of synodical elections, and there have been several elections where this has surfaced and where people have insisted that this has to be the message of the ELCA. So once, it's not a slippery slope. It's a long downhill slide, and that slide, probably started in the formation of the ELCA, and it's accelerated more rapidly than any of us realized. And, those of us who came out of the old ALC, the American Lutheran Church, who, clung to our theological standards and our eagerness for the freedom of the gospel, we used to joke that this wasn't a merger, it was a hostile takeover. And pretty much what's happened is that, the traditions that are theologically disciplined and heavily committed have been pushed out. And that's going to continue apace now.
Dr. James Nestigan is Professor Emeritus of Church History at Luther Seminary. Dr. Nestigan, thank you very much for your time.
Well, great, Todd. I have deep respect for you and your audience, and I hope that this has been helpful.
Thank you. Folks, how would you like to attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference and not pay the $100 registration fee? We have scholarships, two scholarships still available for the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, and we're anxious to give them away. This is how we're going to do it. We would like you to share a Facebook post that we have at our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesetc, with your friends on Facebook, on Twitter, via email, any of the social media. It doesn't matter. Send it to all your friends, your invitation. Make it creative, because the listener with the most creative invitation and the listener who invites the most friends via the social media will receive a full ride scholarship to the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June the 14th and the 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. If you'd like to find out more about this, and in particular, you need to send your invitation and the number of friends that you shared it with to contest@issuesetc.org. contest@issuesetc.org. We'll be announcing the winner of the scholarships this Friday. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Pastor Clement Preuss about sharing Christ with family and friends. We'll also find out what Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse thinks about moms being the sole or primary breadwinner for 40% of American households with children under 18. That's a remarkable statistic. We'll see what she thinks about it tomorrow on Issues Etc. Well, I say it again, I was surprised that it took as long as it did for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America to make this decision. The only question I got left now is, what are they going to do next? How are they going to top themselves next time? I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org, shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.